Junkies podcast. We are really excited today. We are here to talk about the latest weekend of Hallmark movies on Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. This is week four. Can you believe it? Week four. So fun. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. And today I have very special guests here from, we've had them on once before, from One Kiss Means Forever podcast. We have Hannah and Katie are here. And thank you so much, ladies, for coming on the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yes. For sure. So if people, we did our top three Hallmark Christmas movies of all time podcast, which is Herculean effort. People weren't hadn't listened to that yet, we'll put it in the comments. The description, so make sure you do. But why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your podcast and what you're going to be covering this season? Why don't you start, Katie?
Sure. So we are One Kiss Means Forever, so named because that seems to be the amount of kisses that happen most of the time before they decide to spend their lives together. We'll talk about that upcoming. So I'm Katie and Hannah. We've been really, really close friends for the last years. And our love of Hallmark has been that long, and we just discovered it last year. We got this together. And this season for Christmas, we are usually a twice a month podcast, but for Christmas time, we're once a week. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of doing throwbacks this time. I think we're only doing one current season episode.
There's like a caveat to that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we are going to do one that aired on Lifetime as if it was new.
That's true. You're right.
I wonder which one there's an
asterisk.
There's an asterisk, and we go into that completely. We're gonna do a Netflix, one of the new Netflix ones as well. Yeah. So you know, what, there's 9 weeks of Christmas or something like that.
Yeah.
So three of them will be new or newish, and then we'll do some. We're going to throw back between like 1997 and last year. So it's all over the place.
That's fun. I didn't realize you guys were doing throwbacks. That's so fun.
Yeah. It's more so that we can get them out and edit it in time.
Right.
Also, we're actually doing a few of the things we talked about with you inspired us to do them as episodes. We've been wanting to. Yeah. So that's part of that. So thank you for our content.
Yeah. That would be really fun.
And also just like, there are just some older movies that are really fun to talk about. Yeah, like true. It was not a hardship to do a whole new episode on Very Merry Mix Up. Like,
yeah,
right.
We can go into that forever.
This is true, for sure.
Classic. Yeah, classic. Well, let's dive in. Let's talk about Christmas in Vienna. So this was filmed last year. So it was one of the only ones that was filmed pre-COVID, which was nice. It had sort of a lushness to it that some of these other ones haven't quite had. And it was very escapist because of Vienna and all the touristing and everything you got to see, which was fun. And stars Sarah Drew and Brendan Elliott. And the plot is Jess, a concert violinist whose heart just isn't in it anymore, goes to Vienna for a performance. While there, she finds the inspiration she has been missing and a new love. So what were your overall thoughts about this movie? What about you, Hannah?
So I thought it was maybe the most beautiful one that we've seen, or right up there in terms of filmography. Like, it just looked great to me. And you know, there is the like, oh, this happened during not pandemic times, so makes life and filming that much easier, and also just missing travel. I do think that these Christmas in fill in the blank city or country, the place does a lot of heavy lifting, but I was sort of surprised at how engaging I did find the story. I had two big issues with it. One was that I didn't feel like they leaned in enough into the Sound of Music. They like brought up Mary Poppins and I was like, how, no, you're the Von Trapps. Just be the Von Trapps.
And they're like, wrong Julie Andrews movie. Like,
right.
Switch over. Like,
wrong Julie Andrews nanny movie.
Yeah.
So I was just a little bit like, come on, like just embrace it and I would love you for it. And they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I sort of, I don't know if it's not even the movie's fault. I feel like it's a timing thing of where this movie fell in the lineup of Hallmark movies, is I feel like we relatively recently, as in like just a few weeks ago, saw Chateau Christmas, which was essentially the same storyline for her mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit like, oh, well, again, okay.
Well, and also it's a little unfair because we had the Christmas bow with a
right,
actual
week. Yeah.
Violin virtuoso, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, incredible, absolutely amazing. Yeah. And it's not fair to expect Sarah to be as commanding a presence. I mean, she really tried hard, I think.
Yeah,
she succeeded.
I was not unhappy with any part of it. I just, like, I feel like if they had pushed this, like, 2 weeks, I would mm-hmm. have been a little bit more excited for the same story that I've already seen.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of where I was landing.
I think there's
it.
Some truth to that. What did you think, Katie, of this one overall?
So overall, I totally agree. It was the most beautiful. Like, I was about the chandeliers. Chandeliers are my thing. My Instagram is Katie Chandelier. And so I went super crazy with it. And all of the sweets. I don't know if I just like needed all the cookies after watching this movie with all of the sweets that she eats in Vienna. Sarah Drew is always charming and beautiful. And Brennan Elliott is like, he always gives a good performance. In my opinion, I'm never disappointed in him at any point. So overall, that was fun. The kids were adorable. I liked the kids and their strange accents. And that was sort of where I went off the rails too, is like, I think I needed a little bit more backstory on like why they all spoke with different accents. And then none of which happened to be German. Like they were learning German. So that confused me just slightly. Yeah. And what I will say about this movie ultimately that drove me out of control was, this was textbook One Kiss Means Forever. Like most of the time they'll be like, this is where we're supposed to kiss. And then they'd be like, but it might be hard. And you're screaming at the screen, you're grown adults. I'm sure right. You've kissed before. You were both engaged once. Like,
yeah. And it's not a COVID excuse. They can't, because this was filmed before it. So
right.
They can't use
exactly.
that excuse.
So other than shouting at the screen that you just want these lovers to just like get together already. I liked it. I rewatched mm-hmm. it. I thought yeah. it was such a fun time. And, yeah. You know.
So I enjoyed the film. I think maybe my expectations were just too high. I tried to not do that, but it's just hard when you've heard about something for a year. You've seen right. kind of little peaks of it, how much I loved her first two movies over a lifetime. This mm-hmm. is not on that level as her, those, in my opinion, at least, Christmas Pen Pals and Twinkle All the Way are two so of good. My favorites I've ever seen as far as TV Christmas movies. I absolutely love those, both those movies. So not on that level. That probably wasn't a fair expectation to have, but I particularly liked all the touristing stuff was really fun. And I'm like, what kind of hot drink is coming up next? It's very exciting.
Glühwein. And-
Oh, I was like sitting there thinking like, oh, no one's making me Glühwein this year. So sad.
And so that was really fun. And then also just anything with the kids was really fun. But I felt like it's really hard when you have sort of, they're not getting along and then they fall in love, the enemies to lovers, although when maybe that's enemy is overstating it for this one, but that yeah. trope, you have to make the switch just at the right time
mm-hmm.
to make it work for your characters to be likable, for you to enjoy the couple, for you. And I felt like they didn't nail that in the script. I felt like he was kind of a brat and you're just like, what is wrong with you? How can you be treating Sarah Drew this way? Like,
yeah.
She's a delight. Why are you doing this? And I don't really blame him. He did a good job with what he had. But I think it's a script problem that they, especially with him being all pouty about her giving advice. He can just ignore the advice. This is just a person who's been in his life for a week. Why does he care what she thinks, you know? And so for him to be all pouty really kind of irritated me. And I was just like, get a life. You're lame. Is she even being paid for this?
No. They do not specify that she is. It seems to suggest that she is not.
Yeah, she's just doing this to help out her friend. So even if she is getting paid, it's not much or anything. So like, she's doing you a favor, like be nicer.
Yeah.
100%.
That's how I felt.
100%. And stop being so flirty if you can't deliver, like, come on. Yeah.
The other thing they actually have two kind of meet cutes, one out in the crowd, and that was perfectly cute. And then they meet again at the party, and she looked stunning in that red dress. Amazing.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously. I was glad we got our red dress, even if it was like early in the movie instead of the final red dress.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that because I was irritated about the final dress. So they meet at this cocktail party or whatever it was, this party. And she says, you want to dance? He says, you don't dance to Christmas carols. And then he refuses to dance with her. And so I guess, I don't know. I feel like there's no, I don't know. I just felt like that. I don't know if they were trying to make it kind of a Pride and Prejudice kind of a thing. Oh, look, he's being so rude at a party. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like at the beginning of Pride and Prejudice or something like that. But then like he was likable soon after that. It was back and forth. So it wasn't like a Darcy arc, really. I mean, I guess they're trying to be like Captain Von Trapp, but again, he wasn't as up and down as, and Maria kind of had to wear him down.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So it just made me kind of like, oh, that was rude.
Yeah. I wish that they had kind of gotten in. Like, I feel like Brennan Elliott did what he could with that scene of like, why would what's my motivation in turning her down other than it might be my bedtime? And I think that would have been enough for me. Like he might've been just be like, I'm actually headed out. I got to get back to my home. But he made it kind of go like, you're right. Sort of like being a Darcy, but it was unmotivated to me.
Yeah. And then later on, he wants to dance with her. And so you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah,
not kiss her.
And I mean, I fight with Dory from All the Feels podcast about this all the time because she thinks she agrees you should not dance to Christmas carols. But
I saw that, yeah.
Yes. But I don't have a problem with it. I don't really care. Yeah, if it is a super religious Christmas carol, then I can kind of see it. But I think in this case it was an instrumental. So who cares?
True. Also, certain like dancing to Jingle Bells would be weird, but Silent Night just sort of like has that right sway to it for a dance.
And like I said, it was instrumental, so
yeah,
it's not like you're like, "Ooh, Baby Jesus, I'm dancing." Like,
I feel like Baby Jesus would appreciate the dancing on some level, maybe.
That's a good point. He was a joyous guy. I don't know. We have so little intimacy in these films between our leads that don't take away my dancing. I need the dancing. And I don't know, for me, it was maybe just a little too meta for them to have this sort of discussion of don't dance to Christmas carols or whatever. Like, do normal people talk like that? I don't know.
Well, do normal people say this is supposed to be the moment where we should.
Right.
And like, they don't, like, I'm not sure if real people really do that.
And that maybe worked It's Christmas Eve. I don't know if you remember that movie, but that movie had some meta kind of references, like, oh, it's like a romantic comedy, you know, kind of a thing. It's the meet cute. But I don't know, for this one, I don't think it worked quite well. The script wasn't quite there in this. It needed a little more work, in my opinion.
Especially when they stole the Sound of Music with Edelweiss at the end. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Edelweiss, but it was Silent Night, but it looked exactly the same.
Right. Yes. With a so long farewell. And yeah, I know. They might as well have been like, so long, farewell. We're leaving the Nazis.
Yep.
But the other thing that, even though I loved the kids, because this is a short period of time, I don't think these kids really needed a nanny. I mean, two of them were definitely old enough to babysit themselves.
Right. I agree that there are two of them who are teenagers, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there's a little one. And I don't know. My parents were definitely putting me in charge of my siblings by the oldest child's age.
Oh, for sure. So. My mom had three babies when I was from 10 up. and so we were watching those kids a lot.
You just take care, like they're just there, and it's like, why would we pay for a babysitter when you're going to be here anyway?
Yeah, it's the whole point of having like the first batch of children, right? They can watch the second batch.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, I joke with my siblings that they got their money, we got their youth. but I don't know. So I was just kind of like, she should be able to sell a little bit at the market, and the kids can be fine. They're old enough, but I mean, whatever.
There was a little bit of the way they portrayed Vienna, because I have been to Vienna, and I like think of Vienna as a very small city.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just these kids can't get that lost, and neither can Sarah mm-hmm. Drew.
Well, and the nanny is right there in the market selling stuff, so it's not like they wouldn't have somewhere to go.
Right, they just can hang out. That would be fine.
And even if they were at the house, it's not like his secretary is not always there in the home. So, or they've got they had nannies, right? Or not nannies, but like housekeepers and
stuff. Yeah, there were people there. Yeah,
yeah. They would have been fine without a nanny, for sure.
Yeah. But then we wouldn't have had a story.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, so he's pretty rude. So she doesn't ever really rehearse for this thing, this concert or whatever she's there for. Are we to assume that she does that when she's not with the children, like in the evenings maybe or something, I guess?
Well, that was sort of like the thing, though, that she was expressing to her friend, was that she had come to Vienna. She's saying goodbye to the violin. She's not really even feeling like she wants to. I feel like we've been seeing this a lot this season, where I'm like, I don't know if I feel like I should be doing my music, or I've lost the music, or I've lost the thing. Yeah. And I know this was Lifetime, but like there was a Lifetime movie where she's a songwriter and she's like, I actually started writing a song.
Yeah.
When she started getting into the groove with him and the kids was when she was like, you know, maybe I like this practicing thing, and picks it up again. But it's unclear whether or not, no, she ends up getting the job, right? Or taking the job.
I think so.
It's assumed, but they don't tell us.
But she was auditioning because she's going to stay. Yeah.
Whatever. But the thing is I thought they were building it up to she was going to become a teacher, because she's having this like great experience with the younger daughter, and then like another great experience with the older daughter, getting her to sing. And so I thought she was going to be like, no, I'm not going to be in the Vienna Philharmonic. I'm going to become a teacher, because that's where, you know, it's giving me all this motivation. And of course she's finding her kind of, I thought that's where the character arc was going.
Yeah.
But it is true that,
I made a joke that she was going to be become the Rick Steves of chocolate and pastries of Europe, because I feel like they were spending equal amount of time on her, on her sweet tooth than her musical ear.
And it all looked delicious. I was like, I want to eat all of that. The strudel.
Yeah, Mozart, there was definitely me sitting here like, ugh, I want a Sachertort so badly.
God bless you.
There was a lot of punch hot, various hot drinks. I felt, I was joking on Twitter, I said that I felt like Brennan Elliott's character was there to introduce her to various punch, kinds of punch. That was his main role.
Oh yeah. And the children were there to show her different kinds of cookies.
Yeah. I really loved the whole skating sequence in this movie. Mm-hmm. I found out it was at a place called the Vienna Ice Dream. And I looked it up on Google it was just different because it wasn't like a circular rink. It was kind of a winding path. And so I was curious because I've never seen a skating scene like that. And so I looked it up. Yeah, this Vienna Ice Dream, it kind of winds around and it's this big kind of complex thing, which I thought was really cool.
That is cool.
Oh my gosh. Life goals now. I want to go to Vienna at Christmas. If this movie did one thing, it was at some point when the world is safe, book some tickets to Vienna.
Really did.
Right. The travel agent portion of it worked very well.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, the gratuitous travel stuff worked great. I agree. What did you think of when he kisses her hand under the mistletoe? Did you think that was sweet or frustrating?
There's definitely part of my brain thinks in COVID terms now of like, don't touch hands. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Putting that aside, I personally find it very hard to pull off a really good hand kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It's not it's not impossible. It can be done. But it's hard to do in modern times.
True.
When it's mm-hmm. when it's modern, it gets weird for me. I don't know.
I think so. I'm of two minds. I agree with Hannah that aesthetically and like sort of like there's hand kisses in 2020, regardless of pandemics, it kind of read a little creepy to me. Mm-hmm. Or just like, I don't know, different. It's not a Mr. Darcy thing. Like it's hot with Darcy. It's not with anything else. However, I did appreciate that, like, since they found themselves under the mistletoe and they had a complete stranger pointed out to them. And if you feel that obligation to fulfill the mistletoe magic, I was happy that they didn't, that was not the time to kiss at all, or even a kiss on the lips, even out of obligation or even on the cheek at that point. They're still very much like new. So I appreciated the choice that it was still fulfilling the mistletoe obligation, but it wasn't so intimate yet. Mm-hmm. That doesn't leave them off the hook for not being intimate later when they should have been.
Yeah.
But now was not the time.
I mean, I thought it was sweet. I probably would prefer a kiss on the cheek if I had to pick in these kinds of scenes. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was cute. And then he gets the promotion. And this is when he starts acting like a brat. And he asks for her opinion. And she tells him. And he is pouty. And that was frustrating.
Yeah, I also, that part for me read one of the least believable parenting scenes I've ever seen in a Hallmark movie in a mm-hmm. way, just because I do not believe that someone who has a teenage daughter is going to not tell that child that they're going to move, because
mm-hmm.
her reaction was exactly what you would think it would be. Was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like,
yeah.
It's sort of like parents in Hallmark movies, especially, they're usually like upsettingly good parents in a way that you're like, no parent gets it right this much. That's insane. But like the idea that he wouldn't talk to them that this was potentially coming just was completely unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I mean, that especially if they're used to living a diplomat lifestyle where they're going to be moving every year, then that's just the kids just come to expect it. Like that would not be a shocking conversation to have.
Right.
Even if they're bummed out about it and sad about it, they would understand it because that's it. That's the life. I mean, my aunt and uncle are in the Foreign Service and every year pretty much they move somewhere different.
Right. It just, it didn't read real. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't read real that he could be like, no, I think I'll stay in Vienna. Because I was like, can you do that? Is that allowed?
Just opt out of being a diplomat.
And also, why was she making cookies in the dining room? That was confusing to me.
I had that question. What room are we in? This is not the kitchen.
That's like a weird. I'm like, you have to have a mixer and like rolling pit. You have to be in the kitchen. Why is she?
And she gave specific assignments to everybody. It was just like, okay, so you do this, like you do the mixing, you do this thing. And then the little girl was like, you're going to be the icer. And you're like, great. Your job is going to be in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's right.
You know what? So I rewatched that scene. Uh-huh. I think they're making the icing so the kid can do something right now.
Yeah, maybe. But so then he also gives her a stocking, which was pretty forward, I think, at that point in their relationship, to give her the stocking with the name. Because that's like practically an engagement. When you get in a Christmas movie, you get a stocking for the mantle with your name on it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You're part of the family.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was a little, I mean, I did spend a lot of time thinking about how upset I would have been as one of the kids if my sibling, if I got a hat hook and my sibling got a violin, just the disparity of like what was given was so all over the place. And I feel that's
true.
Same with the stocking of like, oh, so it's like nice and Christmassy, but is too forward at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then,
But they can't kiss. I'm just gonna keep harping. Sorry.
But also, and like she gets him like a blanket, which was like I didn't know if I should read into that more than maybe.
I know that was interesting. I was like, I thought it was gonna be a Christmas sweater. An ugly Christmas sweater to wear to the concert or something like that. But
I think he made some kind of comment about like how he missed something snuggling up at night, or I'm not even sure, but like he did a warm blanket and she got it. It seems like she his gift and the first older children's gifts were very like sentimental and sweet. Like they got, it was like the necklace like she had, and then some place to hang your hat. That's great. And I almost feel like Isla, the little baby, got the shaft by getting that. Well, I don't know what to get you, so let's get you a violin your size, because I don't really, that's the only thing I have to connect you with.
But she is clearly a prodigy, because she learned how to play a whole song in like 5 days.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, like not even, because they didn't practice Silent Night. In fact, not a single one of them practice, and then they just
and there is
sort of spontaneously
started. There is nothing worse than somebody learning to play a wind instrument. I'm sorry, a string instrument, whatever, string instrument. There's nothing worse. It is brutal. There's a learning curve.
There is a learning curve. I was pretty good when I picked it up. I played the viola when I was first chair in third grade, and then I stopped to join choir. But I tried picking it up again in like my mid-20s, and I was like, I'm like, not in New York. I can't play. I can't do this in New York City. My neighbors will kill me.
Yeah. So then we get to this big scene in the Ferris wheel where they're having champagne. Things are getting pretty close. He kind of apologizes. They're getting, and then he says, "Well, I'm not going to kiss you because this can't last. We're going to be moving or whatever." And I don't know. It was supposed to be romantic, but
I think I would have appreciated it better if they actually did kiss and then had the thought of like maybe that was a bad idea because I liked it too much.
Because I don't think there's that much difference between a near kiss and a kiss.
Yeah.
Like I really don't like the as far as like social implications, like if I kissed versus near kissing someone, it's basically the same thing. Like we've had the same emotions, right? That you have to deal with. And so I mean, it works sometimes. Like, it was just interesting because we had watched Two Turtle Doves in our patron watch along mm-hmm. also on Saturday. And in mm-hmm. that movie, Michael Rady says, I really want to kiss you, but I'm not going to. So it was a very similar moment. So I was thinking about it. I was like, why did I feel like it worked so well in that movie, but didn't really work so well here? And I think part of it is because I just frankly liked him better in Michael in that movie than I liked him better in this movie, because the script had just made him kind of unlikable. And that takes something to do, because Brennan Elliott is extremely likable.
Extremely likable.
As an actor. Super. It was just he was too, they didn't make that switch at the right time to make their relationship, to make him likable and you're rooting for
100%.
Him.
100%.
Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. I feel like he was still kind of in the withholding part of like the relationship, but they had this beautiful night. And mm-hmm. I agree that like a near kiss is pretty much the same as a kiss, exactly what you said. But if you have to stop and talk about it, I feel like you might as well just have the night, right? Like,
mm-hmm. right. Right? Yeah, like unless like it worked so well in Two Turtle Doves. Have you seen that? You know, Two Turtle Doves. It worked so well. It was so romantic in that movie. But I think
it's Michael Ratty. Yeah.
I think it seemed so thoughtful and that he really like wanted to. And like it was different. I don't know. It works in some cases, it doesn't work in other cases. It was interesting to me to have that comparison. And so then we get the big night of the concert. With the young girl is going to sing Ave Maria, super nervous. So then her brother comes on and starts singing. And so then the whole family. And that was very sweet and enjoyable. And so then at the very end, we get, he gives her a rose and they kiss finally at the end.
It was such a finally, like, oh come on guys, like we have taken forever to get here.
yeah well, and we didn't talk about the fact that so they had that scene with the city view where they actually do dance mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so he's had a change of heart and he dances there, and that was a beautiful scene. That was a nice glamour shot of the city behind them.
I was angry at that scene though, because it was so beautiful and such a perfect moment, dancing it with the music and being close. And I think they break a commercial like right at the end of that, where they're like looking into each other's eyes and it's glorious. Mm-hmm. And then they break a commercial and I was like, guys, homework, like we didn't be hanging. Because at that point, I don't think they had talked ad nauseum about whether or not they should kiss. And so I thought that would have been it. So mm-hmm. yeah. Missed opportunity with that beauty.
Is she like a featured performer? I was still confused about what her role was, because if she's just a member of the orchestra, then okay, I get why she has a black dress on, because that's what orchestras do. But if she's a featured performer, she doesn't need to have a black dress on. I mean, every concert I've ever been to, the featured performers have special dress, you know, different colors and things. And so I really didn't like that she had a black, I know it's a nitpick, I get it. I didn't like that she had a black dress on at the end. It just wasn't Christmassy to me. And she looked so good in the red dress at the beginning. Why they didn't just have her in that or something else. I just didn't like that.
I agree that the choice was odd. I thought the dress was beautiful separately. Mm-hmm.
If like, it was a New Year's movie, I would have been.
It was very New Year's.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like. Like, mm-hmm. I did like the dress, but not for the Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I don't really, and I have no idea what this concert was. This concert confused me so much.
Who was it playing? I agree.
Like, nobody.
Is it just this one song?
Yeah,
that is
Merry Christmas.
And can anybody walk on stage and start singing? Because it certainly seemed like maybe they could.
Because the Vienna Boys Choir, that was like alluded to them, but then they were, I mean, they probably couldn't get them, I guess, but there was no, it wasn't like a choral concert. There was no, the orchestra wasn't there. Right. It was strange.
I don't know.
But anyway, so we do 1 to 5 crowns. what would you give this one? What about you, Hannah?
So I would give this 3.75 crowns. I think it's solid,
mm-hmm.
not, but sort of like middle-ish road solid. Like there's nothing
mm-hmm.
so special about it that it needs to hit 4 for me.
Yeah. What about you, Katie?
I think that I completely agree with Hannah's assessment, but I'm going to take it down 2.5 and do a 3.5 for this, purely for wasted potential. You had everything going for you with your stars, with your setting, with the food. Like you said, Rachel, the anticipation really got me. There's no excuse why it didn't hit all the boxes.
I agree. I'm going to say the same as you. 3.5 is perfectly serviceable and pleasant, but the script was not where it should have been. And but I love Sarah, and it had a lot of fun moments. So I'll go 3.5 for that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We have Meet Me at Christmas, and this was on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and it stars Catherine Bell and Mark Declan, and its summary is, when her son's wedding planner quits, Joan must coordinate his Christmas Eve wedding with the help of Beau, the bride's uncle. They realize their fates and pasts are intertwined as they plan. So, yeah, what was your overall thoughts, Katie, of this film?
So, overall, I thought it was pretty much like your standard fare of the, oh, my person from the past coming into my life and they figure it out. I'm glad they figured it out as fast as they did. Overall, I gotta say this wasn't my favorite of the season. It was fine, but I just kind of got so distracted by the fact that she fell in love with this boy. She had a great time with him, didn't know his name. And then she happened to he doesn't show up for whatever, you know, affair to remember type reason that mm-hmm. we're not sure up until the end. And then she happens to meet the man who would be her husband the same day. Right. And so, but now 28 years later, she's feeling shame for having liked a boy before her husband and doesn't want to tell her son about it. And that mm-hmm. bugged me so much.
Yeah.
And I know that's me psychologically reading into this a lot, but the fact that she had to defend herself in such a way kind of took me out of the movie and kind of spoiled their romance for me a little bit. So
yeah,
that's how I felt.
I agree. I mean, when her son says, it's okay, I'm fine with it, I'm like, what is she asking permission for? What? I'm confused, because she literally had a pleasant day with somebody in her past. That doesn't impact her relationship with her husband at all. She's not cheating on her husband.
Mm-mm.
Like, what? Everybody dates people.
Apparently not, because one kiss means forever.
Yeah, I guess. And I love Catherine Bell. She's, I think, a really good actress. I really enjoy her. I'm, you know, in general, I'm a fan of The Good Witch. And so it's, you know, and then it's kind of fun to see her I thought she brought some of Cassie Nightingale into this role, with, particularly with the decorating and with just, I don't know, a certain degree of whimsy that she had in there. I like Mark Declan. I think he's good. I thought they had decent chemistry. I actually liked how it kept going back to the flashbacks, because most of the time in these kind of movies, you just have the introductory scene with the flashback, and then that's kind of all that you get to see. So I thought that was unique. And I actually really liked the wedding. I'm not a big wedding movie person because I hate Bridezilla so much, but I actually thought this was a beautiful wedding, and I liked everybody's clothes and just the way it was styled. I thought they did a good job with that. So there were a lot of things I did enjoy, but overall the plot wasn't my favorite. What about you, Hannah?
I'm in that too. I did really like all the flashbacks. I enjoyed going, like, I think I overall liked the love story. It just was like diluted by other things that I didn't care for. And so I got sidetracked in my brain by a lot of really silly things. Like, this is the first movie I saw COVID stickers on the floor, and I was very excited.
Oh, interesting. Well, and also it started out on kind of a sour note. Like, I understand that they don't get along at first, and that's a trope in these movies. I get that. But I just didn't understand why he didn't just wait 5 seconds for her to leave. You know, like, why he's like, you gotta leave right now. Like, what?
The first meet was just, it didn't read.
Like, it's not like reasonable. Like, a normal human's just like, okay, I'm gonna wait until this person leaves.
Right. Or just say like, hey, can I take a picture of this tree? Can you move out of the way? Like, it wouldn't have been. Yeah. It just, like, I didn't buy it.
He acted like she was doing something unreasonable, which she's not. She's looking at the tree. That's perfectly reasonable. Like,
right. It was weird.
Get out of my way. It's not your tree. It's not a private tree. Just wait until she's done. Like, that's what humans do. That was weird.
Or ask politely. And then even she was all like, well, I'm going to stand here and look at this tree. I don't care about your picture. So you could be polite too. You could both. Can't we all just be polite?
Yeah.
Who's the bottom
well,
line?
And so then this wedding planner quits, and I call shenanigans on that as well, because if she gets some celebrity client in Aspen, she still has a contract with these people. And there's not a wedding planner I've ever heard of in my life that doesn't have an assistant, a second person, somebody. They're not just going to leave them completely helpless. You would sue them. That would be, you've paid them thousands of dollars for a wedding like this. It was ridiculous.
There was a number of things where I'm like, well, that is convenient for the story, but
but they get this list, and then and they're going back and forth. She realizes who he is, and why wasn't he there? Why didn't he show up? And then at a certain point, the wedding venue was ruined. I think that the best, I mean, aside from the wedding, which I really liked, the best scene in the movie was actually them on their kind of real date where they go to dinner, because it was a really good scene for these two actors to just the dialogue back and forth between the two of them, I thought was really good. And you could see that these were people that had had careers, that had had lives, I felt like the conversation was pretty authentic in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me. And so I thought that was good. And I don't know. What did you think of the eventual wedding, the actual wedding? Did you like as much as me?
So personally, I thought the outdoor ceremony was beautiful. I was a little cold in my apartment watching it, but that's neither here nor there, because it's more of a like, please don't make me go to an outdoor wedding in December, but you know, you do you. I didn't like the wedding dress, I will say.
Oh, you didn't like it. It was unique, so I totally understand that.
Yeah.
It was definitely different.
It was different. I think what I didn't like about it was the sleeves and the way, like, I didn't like the cut of the sleeves. That really just annoyed me for some reason. It was a little too, like, blousey.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I liked it, but it was definitely unique, so it's not going to be for everyone. Yeah. What do you think of the wedding, Katie?
Well, I'm in the middle of sort of like thinking about my own wedding these days. So I'm like super about all the wedding movies and getting all ideas. So like, yay. Yeah. Plus her name was Katie and her husband to be was named Liam. And I know it's a stretch, but Liam is short for William and I have a William too. So it was like our wedding movie. Ultimately, I thought it was a pretty scene. Although she didn't get the memo that Winter Wonderland is passé this season, because we've had two movies that say Winter Wonderland is out, and that's what she wanted her wedding to be.
Well, it wasn't very Christmassy, the wedding.
No, it was wintery, but not Christmassy.
This movie in general was not very Christmassy.
No, yeah, it could have been like any time, really.
Yeah.
Other than putting the ornaments on the tree at the end.
And making a wreath with tree Charlie, who's amazing.
Yeah. So let's see what next. It's all revealed and Liam is upset because, she lied to him or something. But then she goes and talks to him and he says, "That's fine. You're fine." I'm kind of like, okay, I don't know why she needed your permission, but there we go. Yeah. I thought she looked beautiful. I loved that green dress.
That green dress was great.
It looked so 100%. Good on her. We get the big reveal that the Affair to Remember. She even says, "I was looking up," just like she says in Affair to Remember. "You were there. It was the closest place to heaven." And so that was fun. I liked that callback. And so they end up being together at the end by the tree. And they also have a lot of puffy jackets, which I always think is a little bit of a risk in this in a movie, because they're not the most flattering. And especially that young her, that was a puffy coat. This was fine for me. It's not the best, but I give it 3 crowns. What about you, Katie?
I'm gonna say 2.5 for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Although I did appreciate the reveal of the car crash was done in like a speech. I thought that was novel. That was cool. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was just kind of like meh for me.
Yeah. Hannah, what about you?
I would give it 3. Mm-hmm. It was fine.
Yeah.
It went quickly.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. So then we have A Timeless Christmas, and this is based on the Hallmark publishing novel by Alexis Stan. So that's kind of fun. It's only the second one of those that has been turned into a movie. And this starred Aaron Cahill and Ryan Pavey, and directed by Ron Oliver. And it's Charles Whitley travels from 1903 to 2020, where he meets Megan Turner and experiences a 21st century Christmas. So time travel. We have not had much time travel in the world of Hallmark. Just the Candace Cameron Bure on the comet. It would have been funny if they had like a little Easter egg to that in here somehow. But Katie, what did you overall think about it?
Overall, I love this movie already. Like, I love fantasy, like mystical things like this. We did an episode called The Love Letter, which was sort of like time travel-y kind of stuff. That's a way throwback Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, which I love. Hannah didn't so much, if I remember correctly. But overall, I thought it was beautiful to look at. I think Aaron Cahill is so cute and charming and just vulnerable and lovely in this movie. I liked her a lot. I think that this is the role Ryan Pavey was made for in Hallmarkdom, to be perfectly honest. I think he plays a person of a different time in that way that suits him. I think that's his niche for me. And ultimately, like, in the supporting cast got great moments. This is like the supporting cast all-star team, I think. For Hallmarkdom. So I liked it. I liked this one.
What do you think, Hannah?
I loved this movie. I've watched it twice already. It's a little bit so crazy that I am willing to go on this journey with it and accept everything about it without question, you know, like I could pick it apart, I think, if I tried, because time travel is pretty easy to do that with. But I agree that this is the kind of role that I like to see Ryan Pavey in. I believe him a lot more when he's sort of aristocratic and like kind of,
yeah,
aloof, I guess.
I agree yeah, with you. I think that this movie was very well cast. I think that Ryan Pavey is he's best at playing Darcy. That's what he's good at. That is his lane, whether it's a modern kind of Darcy type character, whether it's a old fashioned type character. This definitely reminded me a lot of Kate and Leopold, which I don't know if you've ever seen that with Hugh Jackman and Meg Ryan, which is a movie I love. I think it's so funny.
I was calling this Kate and Leopold meets Spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. That's a good. And the only real like flaw I had with this movie is I almost wish it was a feature film. There were a couple parts that I could have used even more of, that it felt a little rushed at times. Mm-hmm. And I could have had it even be longer. But that's small criticisms for a really fun movie. I thought Aaron Cahill was so fun, so delightful. And they did just enough, I think, of the, what is this pizza? What is this thing that I'm eating? You know, just enough to be funny and charming and enjoyable. And it just like, if they could have fleshed out a little bit more of kind of like why he ends up staying and just a few more things, I think it would have been even better. But I really thought it was fun. I had a good time with this film. And I think that it was interesting because I thought when it started that Eliza was going to be like very dubious, she seemed very suspect to me.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out that I wasn't supposed to hate Eliza.
Yeah. So he decides to stay partly for her so that then she can have this great life back in 1903, which was interesting.
I got from Eliza mostly, like, I made a joke that this was like the Ebenezer and Belle Ghost of Christmas Past scene where you see Ebenezer saying, "We'll get married eventually." And she's like, "I love you, but you're always in your work." Like, I saw her as like a woman who liked him enough to feel jilted a little bit, like not commanding of his time. Not that I was supposed to hate her, but I actually rewatched this too. So, but I felt a little bit more of that like nice sentiment with her and the guy that she ends up getting together with. The only reason we hated him was because Ryan Pavey was kind of a dick to him. I'm sorry, he really was just kind of like mad, like at him. There was nothing about him that he was doing anything wrong. So. I agree. I kind of wish, like, I liked her. I don't know. I thought she was beautiful. So I was sad she was only in it for such a short time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about him, all of his kind of responses to things? Was he shocked enough? Was there enough of that?
No. Not at all. Katie and I talked about it a little bit, about like how if we were in his situation, we'd be like cowering and like sobbing in a corner. And he's just sort of like, it's flying, and like, what are these things? These cars.
Yeah.
Ryan Pavey actually commented on Twitter to one of us and another person's comment. He was like, "That's hilarious! Like, you're in a machine with gas; it could explode."
Right. He's very calm about almost everything.
I guess when you're talking about 1903, though, that was a time of a lot of innovation and change. I think that they had a limited time period, but yeah, they could have, he could have even had more like, what is happening kind of thing. But I did think it was so funny, just him being like, "Why are you in my house? Leave me alone."
I liked that, though. My personal favorite moment of like outrage was when they get the bill for the pizza and it's like 20 $3 yeah. or something.
Smiley and robbery.
Yeah.
That I was like, funny. Okay, that I enjoy that a lot.
And I thought it was funny that she let him stay in the guest room. That was just kind of like, you're letting this stranger that's kind of delusional stay in the guest room. What is happening? But yeah. he comes out and he's like, where's breakfast and all that stuff. Yeah. And that was funny. And I mean, it was a good thing that somehow nobody ever thought to open those floorboards where like a clear defined line.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit suspect, but I was willing to go with it.
Yeah, that was one thing that I like, the amount of like stately old homes that I've visited and the amount of times they've been like, we've done full on digs in like, you know, archaeology on these old homes. I was just like, they would have done that, I'm sure. But good thing, because then we wouldn't have had that and all the old wine, apparently.
Yeah. There was a few, again, this is where you could like really pick it apart and be like, well, like, could he have gone back? Is that even possible? Like, you know, would it have worked? Or
I love time travel movies.
I do too.
And I do have want to say though that I was surprised that there was not a single mention at all in any point of this movie about like rewriting the past or anything like that. If he went back,
they didn't go there. It's kind of like Doctor Who in that way.
Yeah.
They have these Doctor Who episodes where they go back in the past and they're always sort of self-contained just stories. There's never, they never like go forward in the future and there's like bug people or some weird mutation because they messed up the time, you know, the time or something. I mean, they probably could do it in Doctor Who, but they're not gonna do that in Hallmark movies, but yeah, there was kind of that there was never really the question of like, what happens if I go back? Am I going to mess things up? Kind of like a Back to the Future kind of situation. But I really thought it was fun when she's like showing him about cell phones and he's like, what is happening here? And that was funny. Learning about the internet was funny. I thought he did a great job with that.
She did not describe it well though.
Yeah. I also liked that they had little details like the fact he didn't know the words to We Wish You a Merry Christmas because
that was really, I liked that. Mm-hmm. That was historically accurate, apparently.
That was good. And then they find this clock and so she brings it over, they figure it out. And then there's also sort of this side plot of her not wanting to tell her parents that she wants to stay in the museum. She doesn't want to get a PhD.
So. I think she has a PhD. She just doesn't want to be a professor. She wants to continue. I did not quite understand her job because it seemed like she ran the museum, but also was part of the living museum, which didn't.
Yeah, was she an she was like an actress, but like not an actress. It was a little bit confusing, but then they had they had actual actress and actor, and that were play parts in the museum, and it was interesting because they talk about how they have the scene between him and Ryan Pavey's character where he says, "Did you imagine your life turning out this way?" And to bring in that we were talking about where that was sort of a theme of this year is sort of the dreams not working out the way that you thought. So I thought that was actually a pretty tender, sweet little subplot.
Yeah, I enjoyed also that it was between two men we're talking about.
Yeah, that scene, yeah, that was good. That
I
was good.
I enjoyed this movie was part of the Kennyverse, if we're talking about.
Yeah, with Ron Oliver and Kenny.
So great.
Yeah, and so then they have their dance at the end, and she looked beautiful. It was a purple dress, which is a little
different, but I was into
different.
It.
Yeah.
I liked it too.
And then they dance and he says he's going to stay, which is very exciting. And so, yeah, this was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed, like I said, especially I really enjoyed Ryan Pavey in this movie. I thought he was really fun. And I could see a sequel on this one, actually.
Oh, yeah. I will watch as many of these as they want to make.
Mm-hmm. A timeless wedding.
There we go. That's right. Katie, what would you give it?
I'm gonna go ahead and say 4.5. I'm not sure about not saying I don't know why it's not tipping into fivedom for me, but I like it a lot. If I can watch it more than once, it belongs in the 4.5.
What about you, Hannah?
Oh, this is a 5 for me. I loved it. I just loved it. I will probably buy this movie and keep it.
I will give it a 4.25. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was a little bit skeptical going into it, whether they could pull it off, but I think they did. So,
yeah.
All right. So we have The Christmas Doctor was our last film for this weekend. And this one had one of the ugliest posters I've ever seen in the history of Hallmark Channel.
That's fair.
It looked like,
yeah.
I mean, had them all kind of bundled up, and then it had like this bird, and then it had her with a flag, and it was just really bad. So my expectations were extremely low. It was the reverse of the, and I think the name's kind of silly, Christmas Doctor. And we were joking in the preview, we're like, but she's gonna diagnose not enough cranberry sauce, not enough Christmas spirit. There's not. It stars Holly Robson-Peete and Adrian Holmes, and it's the summary is, Zoe is a traveling doctor who prefers short assignments to staying put. So when she is assigned to a small clinic for the holidays, she is surprised when she starts to feel at home. Well, that's not the best summary, but anyway. Overall, I thought that this was much better than I expected. I thought it was really sweet. I liked all of the people. This is just one of those movies that if you want to watch a movie about nice people doing nice things, being nice, this is your movie. This is that kind of Hallmark movie. Like, there's not a ton of plot. It's not like super emotionally manipulative one way or the other. This is just a sweet little movie about nice people, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would agree with that it's a sweet movie about nice people who sort of learn to be nicer
almost. Yes.
yeah I'm on the exact same page. I was also very pleasantly surprised. This was one Hannah and I were expecting just to kind of like sleep through and like go, this is one for the books. But I really did enjoy the roller coaster ride. It was sweet. My mom even texted me the next day and she's just like, 1985 was the best year. What movie am I watching? Because she knew I had watched it previously. And I was born in 85, so she was agreeing with the movie that it was the best year.
Well, it was really unusual in this movie to have some of those throwbacks, particularly all the Star Wars references. I was like, what?
Yeah. I loved all the Star Wars references, and I loved that his name was Luke, and that cracked me up, and I just was giggling to myself.
Yeah, he had me once he brought out that lightsaber. Like, and I don't even mean that in an innuendo at all. Like, I was like, he has a lightsaber. He has my heart.
He's hot. Yeah, that's right. Yes, it was really fun. And there was even a Gremlins reference at one point. I was like, oh, Gremlins exists in the Hallmark world. That's nice to know. Yeah. So she's a traveling doctor, which was kind of an interesting job, I think, for this. I've never seen that in a Hallmark movie. That was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they do exist. So good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who was a traveling nurse.
Yeah. I think traveling nurses are more known, but I mean, doctors do it too. So
yeah. They're both divorced, which is different. You don't typically see that. It starts out with her family and they're kind of bummed and everything, but I liked that they didn't like over shame her. Like, this is, I mean, it's unusual for somebody to, obviously they go to the small town all the time, but for her to be such a career woman and to be kind of respected and admired for her career, and never asked to give up her career in any way. That was a little bit more nuanced than you typically see with these movies, I think.
Yeah. And just also that nobody, like, because she was an army doctor for a while. And it wasn't like you either didn't stay and that was a sad thing. You know, like, there's usually some kind of more emotions wrapped up in the military that just weren't there of like, okay, it was time for you to leave. You needed to do that. That's
right.
You did what was good for you.
this was barely a military movie.
Yeah.
If you watched the, I mean, if you looked at the poster, again, atrocious poster, you would think that this was like a Veterans Christmas or something like that, homecoming for the holidays. And it really was a pretty small part of the movie. And just the idea that she became friends with this soldier over in the war. And I thought that was very sweet. And it happened to, and then it ends up, the big reveal is that it's the doctor's son who she cared for. And that was very sweet. It was very nice.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm. So what are you most tempted by? Meatloaf Monday, Tamale Tuesday, Souffle Sunday?
Well, I feel like Katie needs to go first because we had a conversation about Souffle Sunday.
We did. Didn't they say Wednesday was
Waffle Wednesday?
Oh, Waffle Wednesday,
which to me makes sense. But Souffle Sunday, of all the S foods, Sunday didn't make the cut. Like sandwich soup, salad. Like, I mean, but I can't tell you the last time I went to a restaurant, even in New York City, that had souffle legitimately on the menu.
The reason why diner. Souffles are really hard to make.
Right. Nobody wants to make them.
Really hard.
No.
And I think you have to serve them like right away because they deflate.
Right.
Yeah, you do. And they have to be done like, right, like, you know, eaten hot. So they usually cook to order. Like, usually souffles have an asterisk to say like, order ahead of time, or this will be like 30 minutes before you get it. So that was my only big beef with that. Other than that, I would be at that diner every night. I love diner food.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was a G day, it'd be grilled cheese for me every day.
Ooh, yeah. That would be really good. That was like Christmas really in the Darlings with the grilled cheese.
Yeah. I was so like upset that I couldn't eat with them during that movie.
So good. And and so she also is learning to cook by there's this patient who's been feeling really lightheaded, and so she's trying to help her. She does the house call, which is the first time she's ever done that, and so she learns how to make green bean casserole, which is like the easiest thing to make in the world. You literally just have soup, green beans,
fried onions,
and fried onions on top. That's it. It's not It's like barely a recipe. I'm like, okay. And did you see the like very gratuitous product placement of the Campbell's soup can?
Sure did.
Which was kind of a throwback to me because we used to get that all the time in Hallmark, all the time. There would be like this gratuitous Folgers thing just sitting there for like a long time. And you don't see that as quite as much. I mean, you definitely have the product placement with Balsam Hill, with other things like that. But I don't know, just in quite the way it was done, it felt like, oh, am I watching a movie from 2015? And she just grows to love this town. And I thought it was really sweet when her sister and family come to visit and, you know, they say, we're going to come to wherever you are, which again, it was kind of refreshing for these movies that tend to demonize working hard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was a little bit confused about why it was such a problem that his daughter doesn't want to be a graphic designer. I mean, I understand, like, if it's a doctor or a lawyer or...
I think he was just hurt that she didn't want to, or she couldn't tell him.
Yeah. And she just felt nervous because that's what he does, or...
I guess.
Like it was their way to bond.
Yeah, it did feel like they had a relatively good relationship with some, like, big red flags. Where I was like, I don't know. Okay.
And she tells him and he's like, okay, I feel bad that you couldn't tell me about it.
Right. Like he didn't seem like, you know, he seemed like a good parent in the, like, I just want what's best for you. And if it's not this, then that's
fine. Just seemed like a lot of drama for something that I'm just like, she changed her major. What is the problem? Like, you know what I mean? It's not like she's like coming out of the closet or like, I don't know, some of these big moments of life that it just seemed like, okay, she changed her major to unknown.
Maybe she just didn't know if she would disappoint her dad because she hadn't done anything like that before. So she was afraid because she didn't, it was uncharted territory, which I can rationalize. I'm not sure if that's what I saw, but I'm going to say that that's what happened.
Well, then I like that. I mean, they have the big reveal, the big thing in town, and that was very sweet and nice. And then she's like, well, I have to go. I have already got this, this next gig in Philadelphia. And so she, you know, she goes to Philadelphia, and then, so there's like a little bit of time where she has time to kind of think about it. What does she want? And she just finds that she's really, really missing that. And so then she shows up back, and it was really fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed like the fact that they like didn't make them decide to be together instantaneously. This was also a relatively, you know, in human terms, healthy relationship on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, they also had the like, no, we're going to kiss. Like, who cares if Santa's screaming at us?
Yeah, there were two almost kisses in this movie, though.
Yeah, there were a few, but then like they were like, no, we wanted to do this, so we're gonna do it because we're adults and we choose to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, it is nice to see the diversity in this film. Was really fun and enjoyable. I like Adrian Holmes. I thought that he was very dreamy. And he did a good job, and it was funny. Him, you know, their meet cutes were kind of funny with him banging his head.
I know it hurt me a little bit, but
he's like, are you sure you don't have a concussion? You know, and all that stuff. And and they had, it was kind of fun. All the different people coming in, you know, the lady, can you look at my elbow?
Like, yeah. I love quirky townsfolk.
I know. Like,
that's, I live for that. It's so good.
Yeah. And I also enjoyed that there was that mystery of like figuring out why this woman is sick. And it was like a little mini episode of House in the middle of this movie.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was an episode. It was Nickel. And Nickel, that was a House episode. They were allergic to the copper or something. And she like, whatever. But I think all of us were a little afraid because she said she made the stainless steel connection and then they cut to commercial. So I remember I was like, what about stainless steel? I have stainless steel, lots of stuff. Like, what's going on?
Right. Do I need to be worried?
Like, but then I was like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. So I'm going to give this movie 4 crowns. I really did enjoy it, and like I said, it was a lot better than I expected. Oh, and they for how bizarrely that cardinal is on the poster, I was a little bit disappointed. It was only in like 2 scenes.
It felt a little shoehorned in for me. Yeah. That cardinal, I was like, I don't know, do we need this?
But yeah, in the poster, you think it's like a mutant giant cardinal. It's like as big as the flag. It was so bad.
Wow.
Hallmark posters in general, I think, have been atrocious this year. I mean, they're never that great, but I think that maybe they're a little rushed.
Yeah, they certainly seem a little rushed.
They've been bad. But so it was way better than I expected. So way to go to lower the expectations and then overperform. That's the dream. Katie, what would you give it?
I agree with you completely. I'm going to give this 4 crowns as well. It was just a good watch to me.
Hannah, what about you?
I feel like I'm on a slightly different scale than everybody else, but that's okay. For me, it was more of a 3.5.
Okay, that's totally fair.
Landed on it.
Very good.
Like
it's okay to disagree, Hannah.
It is okay
to disagree. We do it all the time.
That's right. So I think Timeless Christmas was all of our favorites. Is that correct?
Yeah,
yeah, fair? I'd say so.
Okay, good. Yeah. So let us know if you're listening what you think and what your favorite was. And Hannah and Katie, why don't you tell us where people can find you, find your podcast, you know, on social media, all that fun stuff.
So the podcast is One Kiss Means Forever. And we have, you know, we're on all the podcasting platforms pretty much. And we have email is onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. We also have our social media, which on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is One Kiss Means Forever, but we, the one and the and four are numerical. Just, you know, to make it a little shorter. And we've been, I think we haven't missed a live tweet Hallmark movie yet.
Yeah, you have been killing it, crushing it.
And we've been doing the Lifetimes on Friday. We're sad to miss out on the Lifetimes Saturday and Sunday, but we felt like we needed to live in Hallmark land.
Yeah. Very, very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for having us.
Yeah.
We love it here.
And you can find, make sure you're following us on the podcast, the Hallmark's Pod and Hallmark's Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes to either of our podcasts, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us out so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. We'd really appreciate it. And we have our patron group, which we have patron watch-alongs where you get to talk to directors. And we just did one, directors and writers and other talent. We just did one with Two Turtle Doves this last weekend with Leslie Desmiandes, who is the director, and the producer, Kevin Duda, and it was really fun. So check that out if you want to support us and have some fun perks along the way. And then also we have our merch store, which has tons of fun festive designs. So please take a look at that. We also, if you go to our website, hallmarkiespodcast.com, Zoom backgrounds, you can get the background that you see, as well as two others designed by Jessica Miller. Really fun, our little gift to all of you for this year. So check that out. And thanks again, ladies. This was so much fun. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.